March 23rd, The Daily Stoic. The Straight-Jacketed Soul. The disease of the rational soul are long-standing and hardened vices, such as greed and ambition. They have put the soul in a straitjacket and have begun to be permanent evils inside it. To put it briefly, this sickness is an unrelenting distortion of judgment, so things that are only mildly desirable are rigorously sought after. Seneca, Moral Letters, 75.11. In the financial disaster of the late 2000s, hundreds of smart, rational people lost trillions of dollars worth of wealth. How can such smart people have been so foolish? These people knew the system, knew how the markets were supposed to work, and had managed billions, if not trillions, of dollars, and yet, almost to a person, they were wrong, and the wrong to the tune of global market havoc. It's not hard to look at the situation and understand that greed has some part of the problem. Greed was what people to create is what led people to create complex markets that no one understood in the hope of making a quick buck. Greed caused other people to make trades on strange pools of debt. Greed prevented anyone from calling out the situation for what it was, a house of cards just waiting for the slightest breeze to knock it all down. It doesn't do you much good to criticize those folks after the fact. It's better to look at how greed and vices might be having a similar effect in your own life. What lapses in judgment might your vices be causing you? What sicknesses might you have? And how can your rational mind step in and regulate them? A Year with C.S. Lewis. Forget yourself. How is it that people who are quite obviously eaten up with pride can say they believe in God and appear to themselves very religious? I'm afraid it means they are worshiping an imaginary God. They theoretically admit to themselves to be nothing in the presence of this phantom God, but are really all the time imagining how he approves of them and thinks them far better than ordinary people. That is, they pay a penny's worth of imaginary humility to him and get out of it a pound's worth of pride towards their fellow men. I suppose it was of this people Christ was thinking when he said that some would preach about him and cast out devils in his name, only to be told at the end of the world that he had never known them. And any of us may at any moment be in this death trap. Luckily, we have a test. Whenever we find that our religious life is making us feel that we are good, above all, that we are better than someone else, I think we might be sure that we have been acted on, not by God, but by the devil. The real test of being in the presence of God is that you either forget about yourself altogether or see yourself as a small, dirty object. It's better to forget about yourself altogether from mere Christianity. Jesus calling. He is God of both intricate detail and overflowing abundance. When you entrust the details of your life to him, you are surprised by how thoroughly he answers your petitions. He takes pleasure in hearing your prayers, so feel free to bring him all your requests. The more you pray, the more answers you can receive. Best of all, your faith is strengthened as you see how precisely he responds to your specific prayers. Because he is infinite in all his ways, you need not fear that he will run out of resources. Abundance is at the very heart of who he is. Come to him in joyful expectation of receiving all you need, and sometimes much more. He delights in showering blessings on his beloved children. Come to him with open hands and hearts, ready to receive all he has for you. How priceless is your unfailing love! both high and low among men, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36, 7-9. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will satisfy with food. Psalm 132, 15. When they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. John 6:12-13.